now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. When one considers dynamic elements of the economy, insurance may not come to mind. But like other industries, the need to innovate is present in insurance as well, particularly in the context of climate change. As indicated by the Swiss Re Institute, since the 1980s, average annual losses from natural disasters have more than sextupled in real terms. Newer risks are emerging as well, with cyber attacks able to shut down power plants, paralyze firms and cities, and siphon money from banks. Insurance assets are also becoming harder to protect. When many of us think about insurance, we might think about tangibles like homes and automobiles. As indicated by The Economist magazine, in 2018, tangibles such as buildings and equipment accounted for just 16% of the value of the S&P 500. Intangibles like intellectual property and reputation accounted for the other 84%. Accordingly, many insurers are striving to keep up with the world. AXA, the world's second-largest insurer by premiums written, has earmarked millions for technology upgrades and design services. Still, no insurer in the world ranks among the world's top 1,000 public companies in terms of amount invested in research and development. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. U.S. corporations are beginning to express more pessimism regarding their own prospects and those of the broader economy. According to a Goldman Sachs analysis, sentiment expressed in public communications by the largest American company slumped earlier this summer to the lowest level in at least a year. Negative mentions of economic growth and international relations drove the decline. As reported by Bloomberg, the report outlines findings from 4,000 earnings and conference call transcripts generated by S&P 500 companies. Analysts calculate the sentiment score by evaluating the orientation of each word, then measuring the difference between the share of positive and negative words. Negative mentions of uncertainty regarding profits have increased, as has the simultaneous appearance of growth and international relations in a pessimistic context. Expressed public sentiment by corporations is broadly consistent with the notion of slower U.S. economic growth. Consistent with expressions of pessimism has been a body of data indicating weaker activity among U.S. factories. For instance, the Institute for Supply Management's gauge of factory activity recently declined to its lowest level since 2016 as new orders stalled. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There are a lot of millennials out there. While much of their achievement remains in front of them, they have already emerged as the largest group in America's labor force with the power to reshape entire industries. As indicated by Bloomberg, they are also on the move, attracted to cities with high wages, which also means that they tend to seek out places with high housing costs and an overall high cost of living. Based on an analysis of those born between 1981 and 1992, Haven Life identified the top cities attracting millennials. Two cities in the Pacific Northwest stand out: Portland, Oregon, and Seattle. Millennials account for about a fifth of the population in both the greater Portland and Seattle areas. Not coincidentally, the Northwest is also home to the four healthiest cities in the U.S., according to a recent WalletHub study, with Seattle and Portland coming in second and fourth, respectively. Other millennial meccas include Denver, San Francisco, Austin, San Jose, and Las Vegas. Still, a separate study using 2017 data suggests that the westward trend has faded in recent years, with more millennials moving to places like New Haven, Connecticut, Madison, Wisconsin, and Syracuse, New York. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Much has been made of the slowdown in economic activity that characterized the second quarter of the current year versus the first. After expanding at a 3.1% annual rate during the first quarter, the U.S. economy expanded 2.1% during the second, though that figure is subject to statistical revision. Perhaps what's most important is looking beneath the headline numbers to determine how various elements of the economy are performing. For instance, as indicated by writer Harriet Torrey, businesses adopted a more cautious approach during the second quarter, resulting in a key gauge of investment to decline for the first time since early 2016. Specifically, non-residential fixed investment, which reflects spending on software, research and development, equipment, and structures, declined at a 0.6% rate during the second quarter, which compares poorly to the 4.4% increase registered during the first. The slowdown in business investment may have had something to do with uncertainty emerging from a variety of ongoing trade disputes between the U.S. and key trading partners like China, the European Union, and India. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. It's that time of the year when many college freshmen look forward to registering for their first course in economics. As indicated by writer Justin Wolfers, many students will ultimately limit their exposure to economics. Fewer than a tenth of the students who take an introductory economics course will major in economics. Among those who choose to major in economics, fewer than 1 in 100 will become economists. This shouldn't be altogether surprising, since economics is known far and wide as the dismal science. And yet, many people take economics and benefit vastly from the exposure, whether those who start a business, work for a corporation, help sell real estate, or are responsible for cost control at their organization. Today's economists do more than argue with one another. They study families, education, and health outcomes, in addition to politics, finance, and corporate strategy. Even traditional economics can prove useful. Take the theory of comparative advantage, which lies at the heart of our collective understanding of international trade. Comparative advantage explains a lot, including, for instance, why it made sense for Ringo Starr to play drums for the Beatles, even if it were true that, as many have suggested, Paul McCartney was the finer drummer. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.